You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Or did I talk to the time pilot?
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to We Stand Together, a pop culture academic symposium. We are the pop culture professors.
You know that's true. We're smart people talking dumb topics. That's me. I'm Caitlin Bitsagai.
It's me, Lauren Brickman.
And there's just some fun facts about us. We've both taught courses at the college level. One of us today, it's not me, and we both have master's degrees, which you'll find an interesting fact as we move along this episode.
It is astonishing. But today we are here to be the professors of pop culture, as we said, meaning that we are here to educate the masses on the most important issues facing the world today, culturally speaking. And let's kick off today by helping our at-home students wrap their heads around the culture of standum. Caitlin, what are you currently standing?
You know, I have a big one and an important one this week. I am a pop culture professor, but I did grow up a huge sports fan and a huge basketball fan. And I really owe all of my standum to basketball. I feel like people ask me, how do you remember so much about shows? How do you know this obscure knowledge? And it really is from watching sports and learning all of those details. But much more importantly, I want to stand in standing solidarity, I don't know, with the NBA, the WNBA, and all the athletes these past couple weeks that have been striking in solidarity with Black Lives Matter, specifically the Bucks, the WNBA, Naomi Osaka, even the MLB got in, which who knew? So that's why you got to start a movement, people, because you never know where it might go. Baseball players are getting involved, and that's, you know, it's getting big. So I just want to say complete support of them. I love them, and thank you.
I love that. I knew you were a sports fan, but I didn't know that you considered like sports your original teacher for stand-up. That's news to me.
I mean, it would have to be. I mean, growing up in my house, I mean, that could be a whole episode that you, Lauren,
no, I would not.
To, but
it would be a great topic for you to have a guest host on.
Yeah, and a guest listener.
I would have. It would be the. It would be really fun because it would. You could do or say anything, and I would never find out.
Wow.
So,
okay, challenge accepted. But what are you saying,
you know,
Lauren?
If you listen to the theme song, we say there's no guilty pleasures, but I have to say I'm feeling a little guilty, especially after hearing your stan of the week. Like, yours is really thoughtful, and it and you're like, I don't know, but I'm going to say I feel dumb. I feel like, I know we talk dumb topics, but this is maybe the dumbest thing I've ever said on the show.
Oh,
no, you haven't heard it yet. I am all in on The Good Witch on Netflix. I'm so sorry. Okay. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to be this person, but it is who I am.
Which one is The Good Witch?
It's the Hallmark Channel spinoff of the movie series The Good Witch. They turned it into a TV show, and it's about a good witch.
Well, I guess I have guessed that much.
It really is all in the title. It's maybe the most basic thing, and that is saying something, because I don't get... Every time I think I've gotten to the basement floor of basic, I find out there's another lower level I can sink to. And that's where I'm at right now.
Or another attic you can rise to. You know, it just depends on how we want to look at
it. I feel like my stand of the week is more of a confession. I feel like that's, but I have to be honest with you. I watched 5 seasons in a very short amount of time.
Wait, Lauren, no, but I don't understand what your timeline is, because I know that you have an extremely busy work life. You're always doing creative things outside of the things we do together. And I see you many hours of the week. So I just don't understand where 5 seasons of The Good Witch came in.
Well, there are hours of the day that you are with your husband. I don't have one of those.
I don't think there's 5 seasons of The Good Witch long.
Okay. Well, maybe I am also a witch, but I use my powers for evil.
That's what I was getting to. Thank you
for
admitting
you know
it.
Who never uses their powers for evil? Today's guest. Today's guest is just goodness personified, and I am so delighted to have today's guest. I'm beside myself with joy.
You're going insane. Please welcome James the Third.
Oh, hello. Oh. I've definitely used my powers for evil. I gotta be.
You could look me in the eyes and tell me that you committed war crimes, and I wouldn't believe it. I wouldn't believe
it. Nothing quite that. Nothing quite that far.
That's her baseline for evil, is actual war crimes.
War crimes or your or nothing. No. But James, I am absolutely beside myself giddy, because not only are you just a gosh darn delight, but today's topic it's a doozy, and it's one that we literally couldn't do with anyone else. We're talking dinosaurs.
Very excited.
Dinosaurs.
To be here. Yes. It's all I've ever wanted to talk about.
I don't know that we've ever done a topic that is just a topic. We usually talk about a show, a celebrity, but we're talking about something that you could, it's not a proper noun. It's a lowercase word. Dinosaurs.
But dinosaurs are just, there's so much to be said. And honestly, I feel the burden of trying to condense it to one episode. This feels like it needs to be its own spinoff series.
It's going every which way.
Oh yeah.
But, you know, James, we always like to share with our listeners sort of our credentials, why we feel like we have the authority to speak on this topic. And,
sure.
You know, Caitlin and I have a joint one this week. We mm-hmm. were actually guests on another podcast. Friend of the show, Brett White, has a show called Must Have Seen TV, in which we discuss the classic episode of ABC's Dinosaurs, The Golden Child. So... that's our credential. What are your dinosaur creds?
I mean, I can recite Jurassic Park word for word, just without. I don't need the movie playing. Like, I can do the whole movie right now if we had time. I mean, how long does this podcast go?
Well, like, how does it start?
You have 2.5
usually,
hours.
Yeah, it's usually 2.5 hours, and then commentary.
Okay. Because I can, you know, I can do that. I've seen all of those movies a million times. Jurassic Park being in my veins is my predominant credential. Mm-hmm. Among, like, you know, sort of every like major holiday of my childhood, I tried to spend like with a dinosaur, like say at the Museum of Natural History or what have you. Like they're very important to me.
So Christmas, with the dinosaurs.
Yes, Christmas with dinosaurs. Halloween with dinosaurs. When I was in elementary school, I was a paleontologist, and I wore a for Halloween, and I wore a.
No, just in fourth grade you were.
I just was a paleontologist. Yes, yeah. I worked in Montana, my costume was a doctor's coat because they're doctors, you know. They're
sure.
Like, and then I walked around with a toy dinosaur, and that was how people knew that I was a paleontologist, you know.
Wait, I have to know. Do you have the pitch deck ready for fourth grade paleontologist?
Yes, it's right here. I have it available. I'll send it to you. Hollywood, please. Fourth grade paleontologist. It's about a boy who is struck by lightning and is suddenly imbued with the powers of a paleontologist. And
just like a lot of studying.
Yeah, right. The ability to learn all of those names.
Now, I have to ask you, I don't think we're going to hit this later in the episode. How do you feel about Ross from Friends?
How do I feel about Ross from Friends?
That's paleontologist representation.
Right.
In comedy.
I think it's good that to have people like that sort of in the zeitgeist that sort of exists, that like, you mm-hmm. know, it can kind of be like the anecdote is like, oh, he's a he is a paleontologist, like, you know, like it can kind of be like an ancillary element to, you know, this sort of major milestone in television, you know. Mm-hmm. But I just think that, you know, the real work is out in the field, and he spent so much time, you know, in that apartment and at Central Park. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious if you could go back and take any TV character and change their career to make them a paleontologist, who would you most want to turn into a paleontologist?
I can pick anybody.
You can choose Batman.
I know. That was my first thought was Batman, like a detective vigilante. Like, that would be amazing.
And I'm also a paleontologist.
Because we almost never see Batman like in his day job. We always see him as Batman, but like it would be great if every time we cut to him like at Wayne Enterprises, he's actually just digging up a like skeleton of something. And
he's a wealthy man. He should be going to museum benefits.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow, I'm sold. I think that one makes perfect sense.
All right. Well, another pitch. We got two shows sold so far.
Score at home. We got two green lights.
So I think on that note, we should play a real game. This is called Name the Dino Song Movie. So we're going to play a song, and you're going to tell us the movie that it's from.
We'll see.
You're going to tell us, or we won't move on. We'll never reveal the answer. Let's hear song number one.
Okay. Well, that's Jurassic Park. The theme of Jurassic Park? Okay. Because you never know.
I have to here reveal a secret credit that I have, which is in sixth grade, I could play this on viola.
Yes.
Oh. Wait, Kate. Have we ever talked about the fact that we both played viola in middle school?
No. I mean, I could have assumed. I only really could... The only songs you would recognize were this and Do You Hear What I Hear?
I got into viola so that I could get out of PE. And I was always stuck in second chair. And the orchestra director wrote to my parents and were like, if she would practice, she'd be good. And I'm like, I'm just here to get out of PE.
Well, I was just there to play the Jurassic Park theme song.
I love that.
The Jurassic Park theme song was played when we were announced husband and wife at my wedding. But it was on violin, though. So it's not the
same. As cool as viola, but
close.
You could have called us, and if we'd have practiced for like 3 years.
I love it. I love it.
It's a beautiful score. It gets kind of overlooked. All of the Spielberg scores.
It's really a tragedy because My Friend the Brachiosaurus is an exceptional song. But whatever. Whatever. Not enough people know and love that John Williams classic, My Friend the Brachiosaurus.
All right.
He's got a big catalog.
This is definitely, though, the end of my dinosaur song knowledge, so we'll see how well these next few.
All right. All right. On that note, let's hear number two.
'Cause only love can see the path set you free. Just close your eyes, look inside. Let your heart believe.
I'm gonna have to say, just because of the era, is it the Land Before Time?
No, great and bold guess.
Yeah,
the thing is, you showed your work, which we always love. It did sound very 80s.
Yeah.
It's from the year 2000.
No way.
It's confusing.
From the movie Dinosaur.
Dinosaurs. Okay.
Just Dinosaur.
Dinosaur.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's Something Only Love Can Do by Jackie Chung.
Wow. Do you know if that song, is that song featured in the movie? Do one of the dinosaurs sing? Okay.
But it seemed to be a huge deal that he's a very popular artist in Asia, so he did it in three languages. They really were sure this was going to be a hit.
I want to say it was maybe a credits song, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's that kind of thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Well, this next one, I feel like you're going to get the next one real easy. That's my guess.
All right. Well, all my guesses from now on are The Land Before Time. So. Where is Walk the Dinosaur from? Where is Walk the Dinosaur from? This is my favorite song. Just so that everyone's clear, this is my favorite song. I'm going to go with We're Back, a Dinosaur Story.
So it has a complicated recording history. It is originally by the band, I think they're just called... excuse me, they are called Was Not Was. And that was in the 80s, just recorded, and it charted, and it did okay. Then this version that we just heard by George Clinton was featured in two movies of our
Stop
youth.
Stop this.
The Flintstones.
No!
And Super Mario Brothers, the movie, okay. The next year.
Why? Oh, because King Koopa and they're all dinosaurs.
But imagine you're like the music supervisor and you're like, Flintstones just used it last year. And you're like, we need it.
But also,
we gotta have it.
Was that in Flintstones or was that on the Flintstones soundtrack? Because the thing I remember like the B-52s.
Yeah.
You know, they had like two songs in the Flintstones movie and they were like, they're in the movie. Like,
I feel you. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. I don't remember. The 90s started the thing of like, we're just going to have songs on the soundtrack. Like, don't worry about it if it was in the movie or not.
But I will say when this song came on, Super Mario Brothers was a hard watch for me as a kid. It was not what I signed up for. It was not what I delivered. But when this song came on, I lost my mind. Like, this was the best part of that movie going experience. It was huge.
Okay, wait. So this is
watch?
It is in the like they like kick it to
yes
in the middle in the okay.
Yeah, excellent. There's like a big scene in Super Mario Brothers.
I'm not sure about the
yeah in Super Mario Brothers. They definitely kick it on screen in a very confusing film that as a child I was like, these are not my Mario Brothers. What are we doing?
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
But on rewatch, it's to be revered, I think.
Is it? I got to go back to it. I haven't gone back to it. I was just so mad as a kid that I haven't rewatched. I haven't.
Were you a fan of the live action show?
Yes.
No.
Oh.
I was.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
So it wasn't, Lauren, that it was disturbing to you to see them live action. It was a storyline. It was a story.
It wasn't what I signed up for. It wasn't what I had been dreaming of.
Oh, you mean it wasn't the one you had written that was under your bed and that you...
Yeah. They didn't consult me first before they started production, so I was pissed.
That seems weird because they consulted a lot of elementary students in Oklahoma, I think.
They did. Yeah.
They were like, she needs to study. Yeah. Well, James, I think you did well. You know, you basically
got one out of...
You got one full, one half, and one where you showed your work. So we're going to say 2 out of 3.
Oh, wow. Which one did I get half on?
Well, because you said Walk the Dinosaur, but you didn't know the movies. So actually, maybe that's a
thing. They say Walk the Dinosaur in the song, though. You know what I mean?
You clearly don't run a lot of these quizzes. We've seen a lot of people hear direct lyrics and not be able to repeat them. So. Okay. Unfortunately, you are above average student.
Excellent. I'll take it. I like points.
All right. While we tally the points for official scores, we're going to take a quick break.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Okay, we checked it out. James got a 2.1 out of 3, the official Olympic score.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
So I want to present to you guys a thesis today about dinosaurs, and it's a want, you know, it's my first song in my Broadway show. It's my want song. It's just that I want to be friends with a dinosaur.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And I'm older than both of you, I believe. And I remember a world without Jurassic Park, and I remember Jurassic Park coming out, and it was like, wow, we're going to have our own E.T., like our generation. This is going to be amazing. But I'd already been around the block a bit. I already had my idea of what I loved about dinosaurs. And in a way, Jurassic Park was troubling because I was like, they're not even friends with the dinosaurs. Like, they go to that park. I love the idea of that park. But there's conflict. No, thank you. So I thought, you know, how did I get there? I had a poster growing up. First of all, I had a very, very gendered bedroom growing up. It was pink walls, different pink and purple stripes, and a pink canopy bed. It was outrageous. But I decorated it with dinosaurs, which are really kind of the most gender neutral of kids' obsessions, I think. But I specifically had a poster that I loved. My most prized item of childhood decor was a rock band made up of dinosaurs. And it said Rock Till Extinction. And, you know, I try to keep that ethos going in my everyday life. We're all just out here trying to rock till extinction. I think that's something about it is like, for kids, it's like the dinosaurs' time had ended and ours was just beginning. So we were taking a torch from them. So I thought, like, what is my movie? Why did I care about dinosaurs? And then I remember the amazing 1985 film, Baby, Secret of a Lost Legend. Do either of you know this film?
I don't.
I vaguely remember it.
So it also is like an action comedy that stars a woman, which is quite unusual. It stars Sean Young of Blade Runner and later a now controversial and curious part in Ace Ventura as a paleontologist. James is on board.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She goes to Africa with her husband. She has a husband, but he's just like the tag along. It's interesting. And she discovers a family of Brontosaurus. Now, there are some, I would say, weird and problematic issues with the depiction of Africa in this film. I thought about pulling one clip and then just decided against if... It basically involves, you know, again, I said it's a female lead. She's a comedy action hero. Mm-hmm. So she does some zany things. And if you don't know, Sean Young is white, an American. And her husband is played by a white American actor. And he is a little exasperated with the way she's behaving again. And he asks an African male how he would deal with it. And the answer is violence that's presented in a comedic way. And there's things along the way that are not cool at all like that. But they also, again, like I'd like to say, find dinosaurs. And that's pretty cool. And specifically, they find Baby, who's the baby dinosaur that they love. And they have to get them out to help prove to science that dinosaurs are still real. And you're like, well, not going to be any problems, except there is, because there's another evil doctor. Yeah, there's an evil doctor, friends. Dr. Kvyat. No. And it's one of those bad guys that is just motivated by just, I am evil. Just like, I want to kill dinosaurs. I want to kill the people involved. I want to ruin everything. Like, there's some vague reason of like, I'll get gold, but it doesn't make any sense. He's willing to do anything. Here's a weird part I certainly didn't remember. His, like, henchman assistant butler is played by Julian Fellows, the creator of Downton Abbey and winner of Best Screenplay for Gosford Park. Did not know he was an actor. Didn't know he was doing such iconic films as Baby, Secret of the Lost Legend. If I had his career, wow, I wouldn't stop talking about it. Mainly this part. So I watched this movie all the time as a kid. And there were also a lot in the late 80s that were like, kids documentaries about dinosaurs. There's like a big one that Christopher Reeve narrated. There's a few others that were just like, dinosaurs felt like a secret knowledge that we had that we passed around that was like, did you guys know about like the Stegosaurus? It's pretty cool. So I just felt this connection to dinosaurs. And I think like, in a way, because they're, you see them being exploited by adults, maybe that's something kids feel connected to them, again, in fiction, and by cavemen of, you know, the Walk the Dinosaur original video. And then, of course, we have Dinosaurs, the television show. And this was just like, yeah, and Lauren, feel free to interject, and anyone, of course, but... This show just took it to the next level. We were like, here's our family we love. It's a sitcom. And these are just the dang cutest dinosaurs we've ever seen in our life.
James, were you?
Yeah, I mean, and they were there. They came into our home, yes, every week, and they were our yes, best friends for sure.
And yeah, baby, not the mama. I mean,
mm-hmm,
I think kids, mm-hmm, are still saying not the mama, and they don't know why.
Yeah, they don't. It's just in the bones of children these days. They know to be upset when daddy's there and not, he's not the mama, you,
yeah,
know?
You just gotta let them know.
They don't need to know why.
I have very, like, very clear memories of gathering all of my dolls and setting them up to watch dinosaurs with me and, like, pretending I was baby. And then, like, just for the rest of the night after watching dinosaurs, only saying not the
mama. I remember, this has just occurred to me, but in the early days of my improv career, if you will, when you had to make a Facebook event for your, like, 301 show, I was always that, mm-hmm, girl that would do that, and I would always just use images from dinosaurs. It had nothing to do with improv, but it would just be like, this is gonna be funny, so. And I think my other classmates were like, wow, she's gonna stick around here for a long time. So that was the joyful side of dinosaurs that I loved. And while I liked Jurassic Park, I was always like, something's missing. And unfortunately, yeah, and I think it's just like the legacy of dinosaurs has been more in the vein of Jurassic Park. And I realized why that is. And I realized who ruined friendly dinosaurs. And it's, uh-oh, Barney.
Yeah.
What? I think,
yeah,
we've never returned to a friendly dinosaur because people hate Barney so much. If you don't remember, the backlash to Barney was unlike anything I've seen before or after. As far as children's programming, adults just couldn't be like, this is just for kids. Barney was hated on in, I think, a unique way. And it's through no fault of Barney. I'm not blaming Barney. I'm not blaming Baby Bop. I'm not blaming the...
Barney had an empire, you know, so like Barney, like, no, like, even though, you know, Barney took a lot of hits, Barney was on, you know, there was like 15 different Barney,
absolutely,
shows, you know, and like, you know, the money was really, it was rolling in, like Barney is okay.
Yeah, I'm not hating on Barney, but the legacy of Barney, I think it did tarnish the friendly dinosaur.
Yeah.
As Lauren and I know, as readers of Jessica Simpson's book, she did take acting classes with Chuck Norris, and her scene partner was Barney.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to add to that other than that fact keeps me going in the darkest times of this pandemic. So I, you know, I just, I'm far too old for Barney. I do remember it from Little Cousins. But, you know, I hope Barney's a light in the dark for the Generation Z that grew up with it. And I hope they can reach for friendlier dinosaurs in the future.
Yeah. I mean, something that excites me in terms of Jurassic Park's changing of, you know, dinosaurs being friendly, they have introduced friend dinosaurs into franchise.
Okay, great.
And so,
I love to hear
you know, being able to be attached to, you know, we now have, you know, the famous moment at the end of the first Jurassic Park when the T-Rex saves saves the paleontologists and, you know, everyone from the raptors at the end, you know, Mama Rex is now, true, a friend, you know, now in this new Jurassic world, you know, Mama Rex is now a friend, and we have Blue, which is a velociraptor who is very good friends with Chris Pratt. And so, you know, because you know, but they both still will eat someone, you know, they still will fully, you know, they'll disembowel you, they'll rip you in half, it does sort of seem like we're going in a new direction with, you know, realistic appearing dinosaurs that you might be able to cuddle with, or that you might be able to be good friends with.
I love to hear it. I love to hear it. You know, I think that I'll feel better when a dinosaur hosts SNL.
Okay. And I would love to see that as well. You know, like we don't have, it's, you know, I don't know what kind of range a dinosaur even has, you know, like do all of the sketches have to do with the
I
fact
mean, James,
that they're a dinosaur?
I mean, you know, there's been worse hosts than whatever the first dinosaur is going to be.
There definitely have been worse hosts than whoever they end up getting.
Because the first dinosaur is going to have to be exceptional. It's going to have to be like baby
yes.
level. The baby hosting SNL. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would watch.
Would watch. I'm curious, James, of like where do your like tastes lie? Would you rather have a friendly dinosaur or do you want it to be a realistic dinosaur? Like what's your preference?
Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for asking this question because I think it's a great question. I was a Barney fan.
Same.
Like I was a fan That's of great. Barney. I also participated though in the jeers and, you know, and in the sort of backlash against Barney because you sort of have to, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you have to keep up appearances mm-hmm. and you have to sort of move with where, you know, where trends are going. But, you know, I think I am a fan of, like, if there was like a realistic dinosaur that was like a dog, you know what I mean? You know, like in, you know, this isn't a dinosaur, you know, so not to go too far outside, but in the How to Train Your Dragon series, Toothless is, you know, basically just becomes like a dog or a cat, depending on your perception. And, you know, like that would be really cool, you know, if it's like, it's super realistic, but its behavior is fully like, you know, it's golden retriever all the way or something.
Do you think that's because like in that like dream scenario, is it because your bond to the animal is so strong?
You know, cause it's like, you know, so, you know, if you have I was a dog person mm-hmm. growing up. Now I can pick and choose, but growing up I was very much dog person and like, your dog is like your ride or die.
Yeah.
You know, it's there with you. But you know that like if something goes down, the dog might it could take off someone's ear or something. You
yeah.
know? And like, yeah, the bond, having a close bond with the animal and having it be like me knowing like in a different scenario, it would be chomping someone's head off or chomping my head off even. But no, we're cool. It's cool
kinda
with me.
Like a, you know? Kind of yeah. like a Wookiee in a way. A Chewbacca,
yeah,
your Han Solo.
Exactly like a Wookiee. Exactly. If I could just pal around with a raptor, that would be amazing. And, you know, and like the realistic, like chicken-sized raptor. They don't have to be the giant ones that are in Jurassic Park. They can be the sort of, it can be a real, you know, like a tiny one, like a real-sized one, you know, just sort of
Absolutely.
Hanging out with me.
I think we just stumbled upon our third pitch of the series. Found a buddy like a buddy comedy between James and his pal Dino.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well I gotta get these decks out. So
it's still early
Hollywood.
In LA.
Where are
You're
you?
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys. You've made me feel less alone in this world. If I don't have Dino friends, at least I have you guys.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, we're going to take a quick break because I do need the claim that you're too old to have been a Barney stan is unsettling me. So I got to show Caitlin a few key Barney clips real fast and then we'll be right back. All right, well, we are back, and we're going to jump into playing another game. I am very excited about this game because, James, I trust your taste and your opinions on this topic more than maybe anyone else in the world.
Oh, wow.
Now, you may not be aware, but it is canon on this show, thanks to tutor Lauren Lapkus, who was on the show talking animation with us. You know, we have said that cartoons are capable of being sexy. Like we have proven that it's science. It is fact. However, just because cartoons can be hot doesn't mean they are all hot, right? Just like humans, there's scales. And so inspired by a 90s classic Clueless, I want to play a game called Is Barney a Baldwin? And in this game, I'm going to present to you some famous dinosaurs, and you're going to tell me if these dinosaurs are hot or not. Is this a Baldwin or a dino?
Okay.
All right. So the first dinosaur I need to know where they land on the hotness scale. Godzilla. Is Godzilla sexy?
Oh, I mean, Godzilla is definitely a Baldwin. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Just I agree. Wanted to make sure I was doing it right.
I agree.
I mean, Godzilla, I mean, and honestly, you know, because there are so many different takes on Godzilla now at this mm-hmm. point. I like all of them. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of every design. I mean, you know, they're trying to get as close to what the original sort of like, you know, like foam suit design.
Yeah, but yeah.
I think Godzilla is, yeah, Godzilla can get it for sure.
You have that toy, like the kind of classic Godzilla toy that was also in the background of Roseanne. Like they just had it for years. I had that. It was like a not licensed, just like, here's kind of this guy.
Yeah, a good friend had it and I hung out with him all the time. So it feels like I had it as a kid, but I didn't.
Totally.
All right, here's another one for you. Rex from Toy Story.
Wow.
Is he hot? Is he a Baldwin?
Wow.
Or a dino?
I mean, here's the thing about Rex is Rex is consistent. So Rex sort of has a look, a very consistent look that he maintains. You know, it's not the sort of ever-changing thing that sort of Godzilla has going for her or him, I guess, depending on who you're talking to.
True.
So I will also say that Rex is a Baldwin.
Wow.
Yeah.
For two here. Well, now, T-Rexes we know are very popular dinosaurs in cinema. So I got another one for you. What about Rex from We're Back?
Okay. Rex from We're Back. Okay, so here's the thing about Rex from We're Back. You know, Rex from We're Back was very excitable and... you know, and like had a very sort of, sometimes you were like put off by his attitude.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm just very agreeable because I got to say Baldwin for Rex. I got to say definitely can get it as well.
For anyone who doesn't remember, Rex from We're Back was voiced by John Goodman. Just putting out there.
Mm-hmm, uh-oh. Yes.
His fingerprints have been all over this podcast.
Turns out he's a dino fan. We're going to keep the T-Rex streak going, and we're going to see if this T-Rex is as sexy as the others. But what are your thoughts on Theodore Rex, a.k.a. T-Rex, from the film of the same name?
Yes, Theodore Rex, which I haven't seen, but I've seen the poster. Mm-hmm. Honestly, very debonair, like very, you know, like almost like has a like a very strong jaw and like very sort of commanding presence. So, I mean, I have to go with, maybe I just love dinosaurs, but I have to go with Baldwin for Theodore Rex for sure.
Theodore Rex.
I mean, a crazy movie.
It's wild. All right. This one, I don't know. I have thoughts, but I'm curious what yours are, and I'll believe whatever you say. Yoshi from Mario Brothers?
Okay. So which Yoshi? This one I have to be specific about. Now, is it the cartoon animated Yoshi, like from the video games? Or are we talking the sort of realistic take that they did in the Super Mario Bros. Film? Because, you know, I wasn't into that, actually. I was like, no, I need him to be the sort of spherical, you know. So you know what I'm gonna say. Baldwin all the way.
only for the video game. All right, all right. All right, we're almost to the end. You know, we got two more because I decided I had to have seven because, you know, seven deadly sins, and that felt sexy. So we got two more dinosaurs coming to you. Prickle, the dinosaur from Gumby?
Okay. I don't recall. Mm-hmm. Okay. So okay. Gotta go with Dino on.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. First gotta, Dino.
Yeah. I just, cause I watched Gumby and was into Gumby, but I feel like if I don't remember the dinosaur on Gumby, then like, you know.
You ain't hot.
Yeah. Something was wrong with that dinosaur. Yeah. James III does not recall. Yeah,
I also didn't remember Prickle and was also a Gumby fan. And so I was like, I'm going to see if James remembers, because I don't. Okay, I feel better. If you don't remember, I feel better. All right, this last one, there's a pretty obvious answer to me, and this might be the only one I'll fight you on, but I have a feeling we're going to be on the same side. Robbie Sinclair from the TV show Dinosaurs.
Okay, I mean, absolute Baldwin all the way.
Right?
I mean, come on, are you kidding? I want to.
Actually hot.
I wish I looked like him now. Come on. I had his poster on my wall.
Was there ever a hotter dinosaur?
No. And
no.
There will never be, I don't think.
Not for me.
No. I think my taste in men is really rooted in Robbie Sinclair from Dinosaurs.
Okay, what if they brought back a show that's Robbie? he's what? He's 45 now. He's like single again. He's got like a 12-year-old.
Yes.
And he lives in the city.
I'm sold. All right. Well, I'm excited. It seems like it's a resounding dinosaurs are hot. That's just what they are.
Yeah. Right. And I'm looking at Prickle and I'm like, is that a dinosaur? Like, I don't even know, you know?
And that's a great question because I was unsure, but I Googled it and some light research.
Oh, yes. I do remember Prickle. He's a sweet gentleman. I don't know that he's hot.
Yeah. I'm not sure that he's definable by a category of species is my feeling either. He feels to be something all of his own, but the internet told me he was a dinosaur.
he's a dino, but yeah.
Amazing. All right. Well, I'm glad we're all smiling and having fun because I really needed to break the tension before presenting my thesis today. But before I get to my thesis, James, I would love your help. For anyone, we've been talking about Jurassic Park quite a bit already on the show, but for anyone who is like, I honestly have never seen it, I don't remember it,
wow.
In like 90 seconds or less, could you just sort of give us your, like, what is Jurassic Park?
Yeah, so Jurassic Park is life. That's mm-hmm. one. But then for the rest of it, I'll just say, okay. You know, a billionaire searching for something to do with his life funds the creation of dinosaurs, bringing dinosaurs back to life and putting them in a park for people to see. And because there's all these sort of insurance liabilities, he hires some scientists to come and take a look at it,
mm-hmm.
and all hell breaks loose. The dinosaurs break out and attack everyone, and the scientists decide, like, hey, we're not going to endorse your park. And that's the movie.
That's the movie. Before I go on, I just want to say, obviously, up until this point, I've been very pro-dinosaur. I love a dinosaur movie. Land Before Time is my heart, is my soul.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I've ever seen Jurassic Park start to finish.
Wow.
Now, I started this day. When I woke up this morning, I thought that was because Jurassic Park was too scary. Like, that in my memory was, I was like, oh, I was scared of it. But as I sometimes do, I went to my my oral librarian, which is my mom, and I reached out and I said, hey, mom, is it true that I never saw Jurassic Park as a kid because I was too scared? And she had an alt take. And so today my thesis is that I've never become a Jurassic Park stan because of actor Richard Attenborough. And I'm going to back this up with some evidence. Kate, if you could play the voice memo my mom sent, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay, Lauren never wanted to go see Jurassic Park because, number one, she told me that the old man was too icky. And he was icky, icky, and she would go, too icky. And then she said, and I also don't want to be the little girl. I don't want to be in the movie with her. And I told her she didn't have to. And she goes, you don't understand. I don't want to be her. And to this day, I don't understand what Lauren was talking about. But that's part of Lauren.
So,
wow.
Icon, Barbara Brickman.
So that's Mom's take on what happened when Jurassic Park came out. She first said this to me via text, and I said, hold on, what are you doing? Can I call you right now? And I was like, what do you mean? I said the old man was icky. And she goes, I don't know, Lauren. The commercial would come on, and you would just go, ick, ick, ick. And she, after she recorded her voice memo, I was like, follow-up question, what? And she was just like, I don't know. I think you thought he was creepy. I think you thought he was giving off, like, dirty old man vibes. And so I was like, when I said I didn't want to be the little girl, was I afraid the old man was doing something to the little girl? She goes, I don't know, Lauren. All I know is you said he was icky and you didn't want to be the little girl, and nothing we said could convince you that if you saw the movie, you wouldn't somehow become the little girl. So I realize this is a podcast and not therapy. My question to you, James, I can't go back in time. I can't change the fact that as a child, I allowed Richard Attenborough to stop me from getting in. But like, as an adult, as someone who loves being a part of stand-ups, as someone who loves dinosaurs, is it too late for me to join you in the Jurassic Park stand-up? And
it is absolutely never too late to jump on board. It's never too late. Now, if you still find Richard Attenborough creepy, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
But I mean, you know, there is some you know, John Hammond is supposed to be like a kind of maniacal sort of off. He's sort of off kilter a little bit. I mean, I don't think that that's how Richard Attenborough plays him, okay. But I do think that that is true to the character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe you can sort of allow that to wash over you. Like when you see him go, oh yeah, he's supposed, you know, that this is, that feeling is supposed to be there,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's never too late, you know, and I mean, there's a sixth movie in the franchise coming out in a year or so. I don't know actually when, but, but you can,
right.
you know,
yeah.
It's never too late to catch up and, you know, and see, you know, how, you know, how this last movie is going to affect you and
do you think, would it impact the enjoyability of the franchise if you were to say, I don't know, skip every scene that character is in?
Yes.
Okay.
It won't make any sense, at all to you. He's very important to that first movie. And so none of the rest of it will make sense if you fully miss everything. He literally has they throw in a scene in the first movie where he is explaining everything mm-hmm. that like how the park works and like how they're able to bring dinosaurs back, in sort of one really neatly packaged scene. And if you fully skip that, you're going to be like, but what is this? Why are there dinosaurs here? You know, it won't make any sense without him.
Okay, so then follow-up question. I know you said there's a sixth film coming up.
Yeah.
How realistic? So I, you know, in other famous franchises, like with Batman, you know, we have a new Batman coming. We have the Robert Pattinson Batman. Do you think we're ever going to get to the point with Jurassic Park where we could just reset, go back to one, and do it all again without Richard Attenborough?
So I don't think we will anytime soon, just because it seems like they are making a point to connect the movies that they're currently doing with the movies that have come before
mm-hmm.
and with the supplementary stuff that they're doing, like TV shows, etc. They're sort of all still also exist in that
right.
same world.
So they're not reboots. They're pure sequels.
Right.
Okay.
So it feels like, you know, not in the next, I don't know, decade.
I mean,
you know?
Lauren, do you still have a problem with Richard Attenborough?
You know, I don't know. Honestly, because this is all such new information. Like, I truly, truly, truly had a totally different thesis plan until my mom threw this curveball at me. And to be totally frank with you all, I was too worried that diving in and trying to watch some clips would bring up some sort of weird childhood trauma I've repressed. So I haven't tried yet. After we finish recording tonight, I fully intend to try.
You could become a super stan. We don't know what's going to happen. I think that's exciting.
I don't know. I'm open to it. I'm hopeful. I would love.
But then I see a problem ahead where your complicated relationship with Chris Pratt.
It is complicated. Oh. It is complicated. You know, these men just keep fucking up this franchise I'm trying to love.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you have an issue with Chris Pratt, I'll say it will be very tough to watch these later films, which you could, if you wanted to, you could start at Jurassic World, because it is sort of like it's while it's connected to those other three, it's like, oh, it's a new thing. But yeah, if you have an issue with him, you know, then I don't know if you'll be able to get past it.
I don't, well, it depends. Is he giving me, what vibes, is he serving me like playful, doofy, Everwood Chris Pratt? Or is he serving me, I left Anna Faris and I'm starting a new life Chris Pratt?
I mean, I get a lot of that from him. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of the, you know, starting a new life from him. I also get a lot of, like, you know, I honestly feel like he goes in and out. He has like an accent that he chooses to do in these later movies, and to me it's really strong in the
what type of accent?
It's like a Southern accent, and my take is it's really strong in the follow up to Jurassic World, and not there at all in the first one, but other people said like, oh, it goes in and out in the first one, and that was upsetting, and then he's at least consistent in the second one, which, I mean, it's honestly, it bothers. There's people are all over the place with their accents in Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. So, you know, so if you have an issue with Chris Pratt or accents being done poorly, then you'll have an issue with this new series. So,
you know what though, Lauren, mm-hmm. I can think of a Michael Crichton, you know, that you love, ER.
I do.
Oh yeah.
I do love ER. I'm a huge ER person.
So maybe that should bring you to Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It definitely should. If you like, you know, sort of, you know, science
I do.
Or medical mm-hmm. Dramas and sort of deep conversations about, you know, philosophy, mm-hmm. then I think, you know, let that bring you to Jurassic Park.
Okay. And just to be clear, I know my mom told me it won't happen, but if I watch it, will I become the little girl in the movie?
So I have a lot of opinions about this, mm-hmm. Which are, I actually do think that when you watch something, you can become the people in the movie. I think that that's a very real thing that can happen. So I actually understand, you know, the point of view that you had as a kid, like feeling like I don't want to be the little girl, you know. So I don't know who you would become though if you once watching it now as an adult, you know. So. You know, you might become someone else, you know, but I do think that that is something to watch out for.
Yeah.
You know, when you watch a movie, you might become one of the characters and there's really not much you can do about that.
Has that happened to you? Have True. You become a character while watching a film?
I have 100% become characters when I watch the movie. You know, it's just sometimes when you watch something, you get attached to someone and, you know, maybe how they're doing the role or what have you, or the circumstances. You know, I imagine that you as a kid was like, oh, there's only one little girl in it. I don't want to be that little girl.
Yeah.
Right. But you know, like, yeah, like I've definitely been, you know, any number of characters, you name them, I probably have become them.
Did you have a favorite experience getting lost inside of a character?
Let me see. I mean, there are many. There definitely are many. Many a Will Smith portrayal, I feel like I have I have felt like, oh, this is me, you know, like
I hope not lately.
You know,
when unfortunately, you watch the Red Table Talk.
Unfortunately, yeah, I watched the Red Table Talk and experienced all of that. It was really it was really tough for me.
Oh no. Wow. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I thanks for letting me talk it out. I feel a renewed sense of possibility. I'm gonna try. I want to buy a ticket. I want to explore Jurassic Park. So, James, were there any, you know, coming into today's show, knowing we were going to talk about dinosaurs, were there any dinosaurs or that you were hoping we'd talk about that we haven't gotten to yet?
Yes. I mean, you know, there aren't any, we've sort of addressed all of the films that I'm aware of, except, you know, there is a whole lane of dinosaurs in films that's, you know, like, especially before the 70s, which are just like, you know, like where they would do like, they would zoom in on an iguana and then blow up that image and like, that's the dinosaur. You know?
I love that. I've
seen many a film where like, it's like, it's a dinosaur and you're just sort of looking at a, you know, a large lizard, like matched with whatever they had in the foreground. And I actually think that it would be great to return to that kind of
Yeah. Don't overthink it. Like, we don't need all this CGI,
especially
just close on a lizard.
Now that Stan Winston is no longer with us, and we don't have someone making realistic animatronics, mm-hmm. like we might as well see like an actual lizard's skin,
yeah.
you know, like up close, and you know, sort of seeing that rather than the sort of off. Like it sort of doesn't match the heights and weights and perspective,
yeah.
you know, like with the CGI that they're doing now. So
who
I would love to see stuff like that.
Who do you think has the like clout and like, you know, bankability to like be the face of that new chapter, like
the lizard movie.
The new lizard. Who do you mean in terms of like actors?
Yeah,
like what actor needs can act opposite a lizard?
Yeah, like who's gonna?
You know, I think what was great about Jurassic Park, you know, is like, you know, obviously we had our Jeff Goldblums and our Richard Attenboroughs, but everyone else was relatively like, was like, oh, these actors aren't like in everything
right.
that I'm watching, you know, like I think we could sort of do get a bunch of people no one's ever heard of, put them in a jungle scenario with like with giant lizards and let's see how they react. I would.
So it's just kind of a reality show too,
right?
It's sort yeah. of a Survivor.
To be honest, I just sitting here realizing it, I'm like, I want you and your co-host from Black Man Can't Jump into Hollywood. I feel like the three of you,
us with a bunch of lizards. I would, you know, we could. I'll talk to him. I'll see.
I feel like the three, the dynamic you all have, like, that's the lizard movie I want to see. Something very delightful about John Braylock, like you falling in love with the lizards and Braylock just being like, no, I don't have time for these lizards.
Yeah, that's what would happen. That's exactly how it would go. Gerard would be yelling the whole time. It would be, yeah, it would be. Okay, all right. That's our, what's wow, that?
Right.
Our fifth pitch?
What yeah.
is, where are we at in terms of pitch?
We have a minimum.
We're getting so rich. I apologize for all of the work we're giving you, James. You have a busy week ahead of you.
No,
yeah,
that's
you're
okay.
You're in charge of writing this.
Most
we're
of
producing.
These are already ready. Okay, great. They're on deck, so.
Wow. Well, what a journey mm-hmm. through time this has actually been.
This has been
prehistoric times.
James, for all of our listeners that are deeply in stand with you, where can they keep up with you?
I'm on the internet. You can find
cool.
me at James Third Comedy. Third is 3RD on Twitter and Instagram, and also JamesThirdComedy.com.
Okay. Kind of.
That's me.
Before we go, I have to know, be honest. Before you started taking your handles professionally seriously, did you ever have a dino in one of your handles?
No, okay. I didn't. I probably had, I did though, probably had like back when like AIM was big, I probably
sure.
had like
sure.
a Jurassic something or,
yeah.
or
yeah.
other.
Jurassic
you know?
3.
Yeah.
yeah. something like that. But not, you know, not since social media, you know, sort of took over everything and became the sort of main way to deal with stuff.
Yeah. All right.
To deal with stuff. Exactly.
Well, if you want to deal with stuff with us, you can follow us at We Stand Social. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. I posted a TikTok this week, so I guess we're on TikTok.
Whoa.
I tried. I don't know what I'm doing. But we're out there dealing with stuff, so come deal with us.
Yeah, you can always email us also at westandsocial@gmail.com, and you can certainly rate this podcast 5 stars. That doesn't hurt you. It doesn't cost a thing. Leave a review.
Well, this has been another delightful day in the classroom, and we'll see you next week.
Sarah Michelle.